Welcome to the Spirits Work Show, the metaphysical, paranormal and spiritual information show that is designed to stretch your mind and help you to think outside of the box. And on today's show, as usual, my husband Mick will be deep trance channeling, and with the aid of our spirit friends, we are going to be finding out about healing in the spirit world. We've been doing our healing shows for quite a few weeks now, and now we've ventured into the spirit world and how to find out how they actually heal people in the spirit world, okay? So that's not healing people from the spirit world here. It's actually what they do in the spirit world and how they do it.
Yes.
So, we're going to try...
That's intriguing, isn't it?
Well, it is, really. Yes, absolutely. Because you wouldn't think that people would need healing in the spirit world, but
no, you wouldn't.
They do. And if you would like to call us with a question, the phone lines will be open and it's toll-free. It's 877 in the U.S. This is 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free, but it's 001-530-876-3222.
Hmm. Yeah, okay. Hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirits Work on bbsradio.com, every Monday at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST, we have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching. And you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, Book and Akashic Reading, or any of the other services we have to offer, or perhaps you'd like us to appear doing a workshop or something like that, then please do go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and also at www.spiritsworkradio.com.
Yes, and I'd just like to say we do have a few workshops coming up in Portland, so if you'd like to go onto our website and have a look, and it would be lovely to see you.
Yeah, absolutely. As Sylvie said, I am a deep trance medium, and each week live on the show I channel Gregory Hay, who is a spirit person who had an earth life 300 years ago. I have the ability to completely hand over my body to the physical, to the spirit world, so they may use it to speak through, and I know absolutely nothing about what happens during this time. When I go into the deep trance state, my conscious mind and my spirit are transported elsewhere by the spirit team who work with us, and then they bring me back when the spirit communicator leaves. I not only miss the whole show, but I very rarely remember where it was they took me either. It's not quite like the same as shamanism and that kind of thing, where they come back and they tell all these sort of tales about, you know, where they've been taken to and all that stuff.
Journey with it, they went on when they
got. Yeah. Because for shamanism, it's part of the actual sort of experience and the necessity for it. But for me, it's better that I just have a complete out-of-body experience and don't, you know... Because and don't remember it, because it's really to do with the attraction of mind. And when you're doing full, real deep trance, you don't have an attraction of mind about where you're going or what you're going to be doing.
No, you shouldn't be aware of anything.
No, you shouldn't be aware of anything, because it's a complete loss of consciousness. It's like dying, really, I suppose, kind of, but not quite.
Well, which is probably why not many people do it.
No, probably. They wouldn't be so mad or lunatic as to do that.
But anyway, so Gregory, Mick is actually going to do just that now. Not die, but he's going to go into trance. And Gregory is going to be coming through to speak to us as usual. And for those who do not know Gregory, he is a spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group. And they consist of many great minds as well as ordinary people. And between them, they have access to vast knowledge and insight. They've come to bring their teachings because there is a need for us to have an understanding beyond the constraint of our human minds, for our own benefit, of course. The subject matter we cover, whether in our books or on our radio shows, is limitless and will hopefully help you to become more knowledgeable and better informed as to the nature of your existence on Earth, as well as your continued life after physical death. We do not have any religious bias or political persuasion, and our mission is only to bring truthful information and knowledge through our gifts of spirit. So, like I said, we're going to be talking about healing in the spirit world today, and if anybody's got any questions that they would like to ask Gregory about this subject, okay, it's not readings today, then do give us a call. It's toll-free in the US. It's 877-876-5227, Canada 888-815-9756, and international callers, it's not toll-free, but it's only a quick call, so it shouldn't cost you too much, and it's 001-530-876-3222. So, I'd like to welcome Gregory.
With love and light and peace be upon your journey, my dear friend.
Thank you. So, last week we actually ended up touching on this subject and thinking that, I thought how fascinating it would be to actually delve into it a little deeper this week.
Yes.
Because we ended up talking about how, you mentioned a couple of things. First of all, you said about, for people that don't know, Gregory got actually run over by a coach in horses and had his head chopped off by the wheels of the coach, which is how he got taken to the spirit world. And you lost your right hand?
Yes, at the wrist.
Yes. And he was saying that it's amazing that people that know him from here, from the earth plane, like in this situation, who know what happened to him, and then they pass, first thing they do is look at his neck and his wrist to see if there's any stitches or any scars.
Oh, yes, quite so. They're kind of, in a sense, looking from one direction to another, trying to see exactly where the join is, yes.
And that is, that is so understandable, and I'm sure I'll do it myself.
I'm sure you will, my dear friend. Everybody does.
Yes.
It's water off a duck's back to me, of course.
Yes.
Yes.
You also said about a woman that lost her head. That.
Yes.
That got beheaded, and she took a long time to recuperate, because she couldn't find her head.
Yes, that is quite true. And in actual fact, let me just move back a moment
okay.
to my own decapitation.
All right.
And because that would surely mean then that I would need healing myself.
Yes,
but the point was that at the moment of my passing and from then on, I was aware, consciously aware, of my surroundings. So it meant that I actually had not completely, I suppose, realized or even entertained the fact that my head was missing. In fact, I was looking at my head from my vantage point of some 20 or 30 feet aloft of the ground. And I was observing my head and the things that were happening to it at the time after the accident. And so that, I suppose you could say, well, that's quite a strange event in itself. How could I possibly observe something when I didn't have eyes? Well, of course, nobody has eyes really in the spirit world. It is to do with your conscious state memory. And what your conscious state memory automatically should do is that it should actually re-enhance and energize that gift of sight that you had maybe in physical life. And we'll turn a moment to people who actually were born without sight. So the situation then is, for me in the spirit world, when I was observing these things, I was observing them in real time. After all, I watched animals a large dog came and actually took my hand. The one
really?
That was severed, yes. And it was never returned. He ate it. He carried it off, yes.
Hmm.
But, you see, I have a hand now.
You do? Yes, you have
and,
hand.
Yes. But I mean to say, I actually have a hand anyway.
In the spirit world.
Yes, because I have merely used my conscious cellular memory
mm-hmm.
in order to regenerate it when I want it. I don't always want to have a physical body. That's the other thing that people have to realize, of course, in the physical side of life, that when you are in the spirit world, you don't necessarily rely heavily upon your physical remains or that which you had been. Many people do, of course, and that is the time when some people who have suffered a specific situation to do with their passing, then what they will actually do is they will really, in a sense, fall foul of that generation of cell memory. And that is why, at times, beings in the spirit world, when they have just passed from physical reality, will actually need a sense of healing in that respect, and will need some education in how to reestablish their core identity of cell memory from a time before that of when they had passed. So, in other words, then, otherwise, if you didn't do that, then you would have constantly someone walking around with their head under their arm or kicking it around like a football or something like that, or perhaps some other bizarre situation where you would have people who would constantly regurgitate the way in which they passed and be stuck in that situation. Of course, that doesn't happen, or at least not very often. So then we have to then move on to the woman who lost her head. Yes, she had a great problem, in fact, in remembering the details of her life before it, because she was in such fear at the time of her passing, being guillotined as she was.
But she... Can I just interrupt you there?
Yes.
Like I just did, in fact.
Of course you did, yes.
But she knew that she was going to be beheaded.
Yes.
You didn't, and yet you handled it a lot better than she did.
Well, yes, I suppose so. But as I say, but really, for her, the situation was one of great fear. And it was fear that actually held back her consciousness. Now, this, incidentally, is something that very often happens in the spirit world. People can be laden with their fears that they entrap in their physical reality, in their conscious thoughts and all of that. And for many who come to the spirit world, they are still held within that conscious thought memory of the fear of their own passing. Even so, we may be hovering around them saying, waving our arms, clapping or whatever, maybe even blowing a trumpet in their ears or something like that, and they would just refuse, even though we are knowledgeable, that they recognize that there's something going on around them. But they still just refuse to acknowledge it in the actual space and time of the event. And so it can be very, very difficult at times for those in the spirit world to actually awaken these beings who are entrapped in some way in their negative physical form of life. You see?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the situation then moving on swiftly from our lady who was decapitated to perhaps other situations where people have passed in extraneous circumstances due to accidents or physical situations, perhaps where they were drowned or something like that. Now, this is not really actually typical of someone in that state, but we have had situations where from time to time some people have been constantly, when they go to speak, water comes out.
Really?
Yes, absolutely so.
And they have created that themselves?
Yes, they've regurgitated the physical reality of what actually happened. And I do not want for people who have had relatives and loved ones who have drowned to think of this, oh my God, this happened to their loved one. I'm saying this is quite a separate incident which happens rarely. for the most part, most people who actually drown, once their panic and fear has subsided and they just relax, their spirit just simply steps to one side and they watch it, as it generally is the case in any event, that they just watch it as it either lies there or continues to move away into the depths or whatever it is, depending upon the incident. It may be, of course, that they fell off a ship, or perhaps they were drowned in a shipping accident or something like that. That generally tends to be the case, that those who were entombed in that place or whatever, their spirit actually just watches and observes it. Sometimes it may even be that the spirit of someone, shall we say, people who were attached to a specific ship, you would get this very many times with people to do with war times and that kind of thing. The Second World War, especially, I have to say, is a case in point here, where you have very many people who actually were, shall we say, they were taken down at the same time when a ship exploded or was bombed or something like that, or torpedoed, I believe, is another expression, and that for whatever reason, you would have perhaps hundreds or whatever people passing at the same time or nearly the same time in the same condition. And it may well be that, I know that some people may find this quite strange, but there is such a memory of camaraderie within that group of people as they passed, and the feelings of togetherness that they had in that submission of their energy from the physical world into the spirit world, and that they all possibly, maybe, as I say, passed within a few minutes of one another or something like that. Maybe not. Maybe it was just something which happened over a short period of time. And what we would actually have then is that many of those fellows, although they may go and visit their family loved ones back on dry land in physical reality to pay their respects or whatever, or to let them know that they're still there and all right, then it may well be that actually what happens is that those people who drowned in that place actually keep returning there as spirit. And the reason for this is quite simply because there are fond memories, perhaps, of the camaraderie and the love, perhaps, yes, love, that actually dwelt with between each of the people that were there. Now, does this mean to say then that we would actually have to give those people healing? Well, probably the chances are that we would not necessarily have to do that, because they usually know that they can leave at any time. However, at times, of course, we may well need to do some corrective situations, bring about some conscious thought, empathy, communication to do with them, and really to actually show them that there are other pathways that they can take, that they don't have to constantly dwell there. And that is true, of course, that many beings, especially, I suppose you could say, from past situations when people have gone down in ships and that kind of thing, and from ancient times, shall we say, the times of galleons and that kind of vessel, and that we have actually been able to lead many of those back into the realms of the spirit world, so that they can really continue with their journey. Of course, this isn't to say that that's the same for all of them. It may well have been, of course, that for some who perhaps had particular negative situations within their physical life, and that maybe that was the cause of their passing, that they actually, in fact, created some mayhem towards someone else's life. In which case, of course, that we will have to try to become involved in that situation. And that means to say, of course, we have to lower our vibration to be able to get near enough to them to help to persuade them, perhaps, to change their ideas. And they may well need healing of a sort. But this is not to do with, and all of these situations, they're not to do with healing of the physical state. It's to do with healing of the conscious memory of it.
How do you lower your vibration? I know you have to lower your, like, when we're meditating as human beings, we have to raise our vibration to connect with the spirit world, and you have to lower your vibration to connect with us. How do you consciously do that then?
Yes, we have to actually descend our vibration in increments. It's something which actually takes some practice, some development in order to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because very often we may be perhaps on a specific pathway in the spirit world, and maybe we feel disinclined to communicate in the back upon the physical presence.
Mm-hmm.
So what we actually have to do is actually will our vibration to flow.
And do you do that in a similar way to the way that we do it with meditation and being still? Well, how can you go the other way? Because we lower our vibration by being angry and anxious and negative things.
Yes, but if you notice, though, as you were saying those things, they're actually different forms of energy.
Mm-hmm.
If you are angry at something, you're actually you're vibrating at a different frequency. And what you're actually doing in that anger is that you are also gravitating toward the pheromonic activity of your physical state, so enabling you to contract with the instinct values of your physical harmony. You understand? So that if you're angry, it may well be that you're angry at something, and therefore you suddenly find that you have some out-of-world strength.
True, but that is very,
it's a very negative path.
Exactly, and a very earthbound sort of situation.
Yes, it is.
And in that instance, though, I have, if it's me, lowered my vibration. That would make it very difficult for me to communicate with the spirit world feeling like that.
Yes, I totally agree with you, but it's actually at the point of recognition that you feel it would be difficult. Because it's at the point of recognizing the description of the emotion that you feel. When you are in an actual state of anger, perhaps, I'm not saying this is the same for everyone, but remember that many people actually have instigated pheromonic activity because of their anger and actually dwell upon it quite simply because it's something which gives them a high from it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes? And in that respect, you have this duality of cause and effect, because you are angry over something, yet it elevates your energy level vibration. I know it may be difficult.
It is, really.
To accept.
It is.
But that is the truth, and that is actually how it is that some in the spirit world, when they become very angry at something, they're actually able then to push physical objects in the physical world.
Yes, okay, I can see it as being that sort of energy. I can see it as being that, but I can't see... see it being something of a spiritual nature.
No, I didn't say that it's
harmonic.
Something of a spiritual nature. I'm saying that it's still energy. However, it's still an energy release. You are changing your vibration. It's not necessarily coming across as a spiritual nature because it's anger. And that is something of the envelope of cause and effect, which you have created or someone else has created around you in order to bring that about. It's arisen your blood pressure and everything else that it does physically to you. And biologically, what you feel then is a state of, actually, some people may actually be a situation which makes them focus, even. You understand? Many a people in a state of war with one another will actually use anger as a state of focus. Many armies do it, for example. They don't absent-mindedly cut people up
no.
with swords or whatever. They're actually their anger and focus is directed upon that situation. Therefore, they are actually changing their vibration. Maybe it's not the kind of vibration that you would like to assimilate with. Of course, it isn't. However, what I'm saying is that there is a similarity. You are changing your energy experience. Now, what happens in the spirit world when we wish to communicate with you, perhaps it may well be that we actually have to change our energy field in order to meet with yours. We do this by meditation. We do this by slowing our energy because we are able to manipulate it because we're practiced at doing that.
Mm.
This doesn't mean to say that people who first come to the spirit world are able to manipulate their energy in the same way. Indeed, they can't. Indeed, generally, what tends to happen is that you immediately have someone, shall we say, a loved one who has passed, and you, as a loving member still in the physical world of that person, you will actually feel yourself, oh, I can feel this person, your father or mother or whatever it is, feel them suddenly around you. And they're actually being quite forceful about it, too.
Mm-hmm.
May even be poking you in the bum or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Something which is just a typical gesture of mm-hmm. the habit of that person or what they would do. But actually, how they're able to do that is because they haven't actually changed their energy that markedly from the physical state. But what they've been able to do is enhance the kinetic energy between the spirit world and the physical state. And so actually enabled their own thoughts and memories and cellular structure to integrate with yours and to actually have an impact in your physical life. Rather clever, really.
Mm. So when you need to lower your vibration in the spirit world to help these people that we were talking about...
Yes.
Do you do that in meditation there as well, or is it just something that you do with practice?
It's a conscious memory effort that we see a situation and then we just try to approach it. Of course, it doesn't happen all the time, which is why it is that for certain situations that we are unable to heal from the spirit world, we enlist the help of those in physical reality to illuminate the person, perhaps,
mm-hmm.
so that we can see the actual energy of the person and help. This actually can help to shape and understand their vibration index,
mm.
particularly if a person is extremely negative and harmful in their state of being.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we're talking about someone from the spirit world here.
Yes, well, yes. Let's go back to the spirit world.
Yes.
Okay. And okay. You go on.
I am sorry, my friend.
So I interrupted you earlier.
No.
It's your turn.
Quid pro quo, then. Now, the situation is then, if we have someone who is of a negative situation and we want to raise their vibration, we give them healing. Well, how do we do that? Why do we do that? Well, the situation is, of course, different for every single being and unique in their own way. The point to remember is that, well, what we do is we surround them with love. We give them love. We give them our emotional feeling. Many people, I understand, though, on your side of life feel or understand that there is little emotion in the spirit world, wrongly put, actually. There is a great deal of emotion in the spirit world, particularly among those who have yet to have a physical life yet. They're not consigned to the background after physical life, neither are they actually devoid of any emotional standpoint, as many of the various cults and references would have it. Spirit in the spirit world, before having physical life, is as abundant and as beautiful and as responsive and emotive and percussive and loving as any other being who has had a physical life. It doesn't take a physical life in order for you to be a spirit with love intent, because you are part of God. That's like saying that God doesn't have an emotion or God doesn't exist with love. If you were saying that spirit was devoid of love before the emotional pathway of physical life, then it would actually figure that God has no love either, because spirit is a part of God. You cannot paint that with the same brush. The point I'm coming to here is that so when we in the spirit world come upon someone who is perhaps in a great low negative state, the first thing we try to do is to alter that state by being around them, by giving them our emotive loving energy, in order to try to help them in their well-being. The reason for this is because if we give them loving energy, then that may, by their response, change their vibration in recognition of that loving energy. Simply by responding to that loving energy means then that they may well be able to access some other part or aspect of primal knowledge from their physical state conscious memory, their cellular memory, perhaps, or something else to do with their physical life presence and the consciousness that they had adorned at that point in their physical life. This then means to say that they can make a step beyond the inconsistent and negative spiral that they may have been entrapped in.
Okay. You mentioned last week about the blind person. You know, how do you sort of stir their memory about something that they never had. They never had sight, say they were born blind.
Yes.
And you were mentioning that you lent them somebody else's cellular memory to have an experience.
Of their eyesight. Yes.
Is there other situations like that would happen? Presumably deafness and...
Oh, absolutely so.
Well, what about somebody who was born with, I don't know, no legs or... Would they necessarily want to have legs in the spirit world?
Well, that entirely depends upon them. People sometimes who have had a physical life experience, perhaps, and were born in that disfigured sense and way, usually it is that very often they will actually discard their physical state and that presence. Quite simply, not because they are disdainful of it, but perhaps they don't want to be bothered with the reparation of it.
But they've had enough of that.
Quite so, and they want to move on, thank you very much. And so what they actually do then is that they just ask for learning and teaching so that we can help them to gravitate toward their situation in a better climate so that their vibration is raised. Of course, love will do a great deal toward this. Love isn't just a physical emotion of the physical state. It's something which is the engine of the universe, after all.
Okay, so I know you don't need a body in the spirit world, but you use a body a lot of the time.
Yes, I do.
Would they make themselves a body that looked like they wanted to look or look like something else?
Oh, yes, of course. Because the point is, my friend, is that there is actually the structure within the cellular memory of what their body would have been had they grown legs.
Okay, so they could do that.
Absolutely so.
Could they do it looking like somebody else?
Looking like somebody else?
Yes, I mean, come on, you know, I mean, we've all got little quirks about our features that not want to keep.
Yes, and particularly perhaps those with constructive surgery or something like that.
Well, there's that too.
Yes. Well, very well, then we'll begin with the first part, to do with facial features or other features to do with their physical bodies that they don't want to keep. Now, this could also be, of course, bringing into the realms of those people, beings who had... shall we say they'd lasted until they were 90 or 100 or something like that, and they had all wrinkly skin and that kind of thing. Of course, for some people who pass of that age, they're quite happy to stay with their wrinkly skin or whatever. Others, they don't want to. They want to revert back to the cellular memory of what they had as a person in their 20s or 30s, and you're quite at liberty to do that.
Mm.
And that's the point, really, that many people have to realize that part of the situation in the spirit world is that you may go out as this wrinkly prune of a thing, and that you actually may feel that perhaps your legs didn't work very well or anything like that, but all of that's going to be gone almost immediately as soon as you pass to the spirit world, if you have that mind consciousness to enable it to happen.
Okay, well, some of these things aren't actually healing situations, are they?
Well,
vanity is, for a start. You know, if you already always had a big nose or a teeth or whatever, and you want to change that, that's not a healing situation.
Yes, the curse of DNA. Yes,
yeah.
I know.
So,
but the point is that all human beings understand once they come to the spirit world that they have all been part of the new mutant circus in any event. And so the situation is usually that most beings, perhaps if they are needing to overcome from some physical condition that they were suffering from in the physical life, then that is something that we will just simply give them healing to help them understand that they can overcome these problems by adjusting their cellular memory. So this may be something moving back to their childhood or something like that, at a time when they actually thought of themselves as a different kind of being. You understand that some people actually take with them, as they grow up and evolve in physical life, they actually think about, perhaps they become more vain or more self-conscious about certain aspects of themselves, when in actual fact, as a child, they never even thought about it.
Absolutely.
It didn't really matter. And that usually is something which we draw their attention to in their past physical life and say, well, look, you can actually adopt this principle, this part of your cellular memory, this memory of your conscious physical state. That is actually what you were and how you were. Why don't you have that, see that as the real true value of who you are?
So can they, is it possible then that they revert back to being a child and then sort of grow up again, as it were, through that?
Yes, sometimes it is quite possible for them to do that. And of course, as I say, it is also possible for some of those who perhaps they had a physical life and it wasn't that happy, they may well revert back to their childhood memories in any event.
Oh, yes.
When they return to the spirit world and live happily as a child.
Mm.
And that's quite all right for them to do that. It's their cellular memory, after all, their free will experience.
Mm. Okay.
Yes.
I'd like to say thank you for anybody that may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about healing in the spirit world. If you'd like to join us with a question about our subject, the number to call is toll-free in the US. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not free, but it's only a short call. It's 001-530-876-3222. You spend a lot of your day. Now, the thing is, you can become indivisible, which means that you can be in more than one place at any one time doing different things.
Yes, it's a,
okay?
It's a different way of saying that you're ambidextrous, but actually that you are a multiplicit tasking personality.
Yes, so you can be doing, I don't know, anything from 2 to 6, 10 things at once or whatever.
Yes.
Okay, having a meeting somewhere, healing somebody somewhere else, I don't know, having a conversation with somebody else, and whatever else it is you do, learning in the halls of learning, and doing all of these things at the same time.
Yes.
Okay, but one of your jobs is to, in the reception chamber, welcoming people who've just passed. Is that a caller?
Yes, hello, Sylvie.
Oh, hi.
How are you guys doing today?
Oh, hello.
Hello. Wonderful to hear your voice and feel your energy, friend.
Oh, it's like a heavy weight that's just been trying to lift off me. I got so many questions, but only a certain amount of time.
Okay.
How are you doing, dear Gregory?
I am very well, thank you, and your good self.
Pretty good. This is Brian. I know that you remember me. I'm just for the listeners out there.
Yeah. Thanks, Brian.
Well, I got to tell you, Gregory, this is a fascinating subject because it gives a perspective from your point of view and how the spirit world works. And I just, it's really neat to hear that, you know, and it brings me so much joy to really, you know, somewhere I would say in the religious way of life, or from the churches, we never really get to hear that perspective.
Yes.
And so, from your point of view, the one that has crossed over, it feels good because it brings such an awareness to the masses.
And a normal, sort of, normality about it.
Yes.
Well, yes, that's the point, my dear friend, because, you see, that's part of the problem is that so many people pass with such a lot of fear.
and
fear of what is going to become of them, what is going to happen to their physical body, how can they possibly react to anything without a physical body. But the point is that people have to realize that it's their conscious memory they take with them.
Ah, that's what's carried over from lifetime to lifetime.
Yes. Well, it is your conscious memory which enables you to reenact your physical state, if that's what you need to do. You can actually have a part of your conscious memory which relays back to a specific time in your life, perhaps usually focusing upon a time when you were most happiest or something like that, or most loving, or in a situation of great condition, and you can actually focus upon that and stay within that if you wish. It's your free will journey.
Yes, choice, yes. Well, I had a question for you, Gregory.
Yes.
In the spirit world, do you and other spirit beings communicate solely or only through telepathy as a group conscious, or is there different ways such as mechanical devices?
Yes, very interesting, my dear friend. I have to say that we do bring about a lot of healing to do with the consciousness and
yes.
do with telepathic sending of energy, but also at the same time, it's usually interactive. So it means to say that if we are thinking of a specific case, situation, or devolution of something, some event which happened in physical life, or something like that, or perhaps that's still happening in the spirit world because of a repetitious nature of some energies who are entrapped within it, then very often what we will do is actually be drawn immediately to that point, or that others will be drawn there, and we will use our energy as a sort of a springboard to help other energies in the spirit world to deal with it.
So it would be mostly...
Many in the spirit world do that, you see.
So it would be also using, how you say, the means of sound, light, vibration, color.
Oh, yes, absolutely so. And, of course, the intensity, this is backed up, really, with the intensity of loving vibration that we are sending them. And that, in effect, is the healing essence in that love is a great healing tool in the spirit world. It doesn't act in the same way as it does in physical reality, because in physical reality, you rely solely upon the emotional state in order to connect and verify certain implements of nature and cross decision-making and judgment and all of that, and the responses and sheer forces that you come up against as a physical being are something which are wholly inherent in the physical state. In the spirit world, they don't actually exist in the same way because we don't have the sheer forces that we have to contend with as you do in the physical world.
So in the physical world, we actually are creating the illusion.
Well, in a sense, I suppose that you are. It means to say, my dear friend, that really when you want to send love to someone from, say, shall we say, from your position now to someone on the other side of the planet or something like that, you really have to learn to really discipline yourself and your mind. Your mind has to be a constant companion to that love as you send it. Otherwise, if you are distracted, as many people are in their hesitant stance of meditation or something, that they're not actually immersed in it. They're constantly thinking. Their mind is flitting here and there and thither because of the lack of control. So what we are trying to say really is that control is the absolute of in the ability to send love throughout the universe, wherever that is. In the spirit world, it's something which is much easier to have or to create once we have the understanding or the foundation in which to send that energy.
So on our side of life, many human beings, we feel that the mind is, even though it's a part of us, it just, we feel that the mind controls us to a certain extent, but we don't allow us to realize that the mind is just a tool incarnated as we incarnated spiritual into the physical, that it's just a tool that we can learn to command.
Yes, absolutely so. And that's the point that we're getting at, really, is that that is why you need to do the meditation of absolute silence in order to be able to connect and control the mind. People are far too liberal with their lack of mind control. They allow it to be haphazard. Things come in and drift out, come in and drift out, and you are unable, really, to concentrate. You're only perhaps tuning into maybe 10% of the mind that you have.
Wow.
But the spirit is part of that whole...
Yes, absolutely so.
It's the whole package, isn't it?
Yes, and your spirit is the absolute control of mind.
It's the driver.
The only point. Yeah. That's why we always try to regurgitate this situation of, if you are in control of your mind completely and truly, you are met and at one with your spirit and are in as pure state of being as you can ever be in physical state.
Within that state of love, of control or command, of commanding the mind, to an absolute, is it possible to take the physical body into the spirit realm and then back into the physical?
Absolutely. Yes, it's what you do when you're dreaming, my friend. It's what you do when you have out-of-body experiences as a physical being, perhaps in a dream state or meditative state or whatever it is.
Yes, that is fascinating. That's why also time travel is possible.
That's true. Yes. That's very true. And, my friend, you would remember it as well. That's my point.
In a way, I do.
Yes, because in actual fact, my friend, when you have a journey in the spirit world, time seems to disappear. It's as though you can actually cross oceans of awareness and universe in the blink of a moment, and that in actual fact, it's as though you are traveling great distances in no time at all, because it doesn't exist.
Because thought travels faster than the speed of light.
Well, it travels at the speed of thought, which is much
but it's
faster.
But very quick, yes. It's just instantaneous.
Yes.
Ah, I see. That's fascinating. Well, thank you so much, Gregory and Gil, or Sylvie. I just wanted to bring this point up because this is just
it's very interesting. Thank you very much, Brian.
Thank you, dear Gregory,
thank
and
you,
God
thank
bless.
You. Thank you, my dear friend.
The
thank
next
you,
time.
Thank you. God bless. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes, that's really interesting, isn't it?
You see, so in fact, when we are bringing healing to someone else, then we send our love, and it's something which can be immediate. It depends, of course, on the reception that we get.
Absolutely. And I was talking about how you did in divisibility, more than one place, more than one thing in more than one place at the same time, and that you do work in the healing capacity of the reception chamber, welcoming people, healing people as they as they cross over from the earth plane.
Yes.
What sort of things is it? Well, have you got anything that you can tell us about that we would find fascinating? I think the whole thing is fascinating. Is it a room? Is it a room?
It's only a room in as much as the people who are coming here from the physical realm regard it as a room.
Okay.
That's because that's something that they're used to seeing. And the situation is usually then that we construct something with a variable density which only actually lasts as long as the possibility of infinite resource that the consciousness of the being who is there enables it to be. Now, what I mean by that is that if a being then comes to us, has just crossed over from whatever reason, and they come to us and they are in a state perhaps of shock, as some are, absolutely.
Well, of course,
And they don't want to be there. Mm. And that they then thrash about and they look at the spirit world and they see that there are walls. And the reason that they see there are walls are because there are walls in their minds. There are walls to their attitude, walls to their own containment. And what they see is as precipitating in their life. Their anxiousness is due to the fact of lack of knowledge. And so this actually creates their own walls. So we just react within that environment. And gradually, what we will do is by giving that that being intensive love as does not compare in the physical reality, we give them this state of love which actually sometimes, hopefully, it will enable those walls to break away.
So you can see the walls that they have constructed?
Of course, yes, because we can see what their mind attitude is bringing and fermenting in their own consciousness, and it's something which is depicted that we have to actually interact with. It can be quite strong for some people. Some physical people who have just passed can have quite strong attitudes of what they are, where they are, why they're doing it.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yes, quite so.
But you haven't got white overalls on or anything like
that. No, and we don't have wings either. That's something else that many people actually expect. You can only possibly be the person that I want to meet in the spirit world because you must be an angel. So, obviously, we will suddenly then, if that is the case for that human being who's just passed, we will actually suddenly bring about that
situation. Especially for children as well,
absolutely,
I would think.
Oh, absolutely, yes, of course. It's really to make them feel happy. It's to make them feel it's not an illusion. We're not painting a false state here. We are just showing them how the mind consciousness is and that making them feel safe is something which enables then the transition of their consciousness from physical state to spirit.
Slowly situation.
Yes, sometimes. But at other times it can happen quite quickly in a matter of moments.
But can they run away? You know, you said that they can run away.
We've had that many times. Yes.
Okay, and then where do they go? What happens?
Well, they go into some journey of their life experience. That's usually what happens. They suddenly disappear into some journey of their life experience. But we're usually able to trace that life experience journey because they actually leave a residual content, a tracer, in the spirit world. And so we're usually able to catch up with them at some point. However, of course, for some, it may actually be something which then becomes entrapping to that soul.
Yes. But, where does... Say you've lost. Say I pass, and I can't. I want to find somebody.
Yes.
How do I go about finding somebody?
An interesting point. Well, if then you were talking about you want to find someone from the detail of your physical life, from the past of your physical life. Mm. So that means then you attract that vibration, and the memory of that physical life means that you suddenly have, you create the love from the memory that you had. That loving memory then is immediately sent to who that person was or had been in their physical life.
I haven't got to go and ask somebody anything.
No, you don't have to go to the halls of learning and say, oh, can I look up Anne Stevens or somebody like that?
Well, exactly.
And I met her in 19, whatever it was, and... Mm.
Yes, or you might be in the spirit world and you hear that somebody's passed and you didn't know about it. How do you find out where they are?
Yes, exactly. Well, then what you would do is, as I say, you return to the issues of your consciousness. And it may well be that you, as a physical being, have to have a help in gaining this understanding and aspect of control of your consciousness, you see? So at times then you will create this within your consciousness memory of the situation of loving vibration. As I say, it doesn't happen all the time. There are instances, and we'll go into those in a moment, where it doesn't happen.
Probably next week, but...
Oh, well, very well, yes. So, you have a situation then, you want to remember this person, by remembering that person in your consciousness, you bring about the love interaction that you had with them, and that love interest immediately goes to the memory of that person, which is then reawakened. Now, if they want to respond to you, they will. It may be that they don't.
True.
That's their free will too, is it
but
not?
But you said that you might need to ask somebody. Who would you ask?
Yes, well, depending upon who you understand or can see that is around you at that time. So it may well be somebody that you've never ever met before. What then? What are you going to do then? Well, the chances are, my friend, that someone around you in the spirit world, after you have passed, is there perhaps, maybe as a guide. And that you are not really going to be in a state of the fear or the willfulness that you would have had in the physical life, suddenly being thrown into somewhere that you don't know any of the people, cannot be doing with any of that. Mm. And yet, really, you just have to consciously ask them. Mm-hmm.
Well,
can you help me, or can you tell me how to get to this place or that place or whatever? And the chances are that they will tell you, because if they're in the place where you have just arrived as a form of reception, then they will be of the energy that they will be able to help you.
Well, that's just brought up so many other questions, and that I'm going to save for next week.
Very well. You'll have to write them down quickly.
I will, yes, I will. I just missed a couple.
Lest you forget, yes.
Okay, well, thanks very much. That's been fascinating, Gregory, and we'll look forward to speaking to you again soon.
With love and light, and may blessings be upon your pathway, my dear friend, for every breath you take. It's one of gold. God bless.
God bless. Well, that's wonderful, and thank you for those that joined us tonight, and thank you, Brian, tonight, this afternoon, whenever it is you're listening to this, wherever you are, and thank you for Brian for your call, and do visit our website, spirit-teaching.com, and do visit our video on VO, V-E-O-H, .com, and see Gregory in action. It's only a small video, but you will possibly find it interesting, and we'll speak to you again on Monday or Thursday on the wonderful BBS. So until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Bye.